Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. Paul said, I've got to die to myself daily. I've got to choke the old me out every now and then. Paul said every day. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It's like most of the Bible you quote beyond Jesus, Paul wrote. Matter of fact, Paul makes this statement. It's actually what I want to talk about a little bit today. Paul said this. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The very things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And I'm like, see, all the spiritual, all the religious people go, Paul, come on, that's not who you really are. And Paul's like, yeah, it is. Matter of fact, Paul gave himself one title that I ever remember in the New Testament. Paul said this, and I, Paul, chief among sinners. So like when I look at all y'all are the Indians. I'm the, like, I got sin down. But when you look at Paul's life, what you got to figure out is Paul grew up in the church. Paul had probably memorized the Old Testament word for word. Paul knew the law. Paul not only learned the Old Testament, Paul learned all the laws that we had created, we being the church had created around the Old Testament. Paul was so passionate about it, Paul would cut a fool for it. Paul was probably there at the stoning of Stephen. Most theologians would agree that Paul probably had something to do with the stoning of Stephen. Then Paul has this wake-up moment on the road of Damascus. And all of a sudden, man, he's faced with the fact that I'm the worst of the worst. I did what I really thought I wanted. I had power and I had influence and I had... But I figured this out, that with God I'm nothing, and that I have to get in His will, not in mine. So I was sitting there, and the title of today's message is pretty easy. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. Because next week, I actually wrote this message and then went ahead and started writing next week's message, and actually the week after that I'm already into. Because what I really want to deal with is men. I want to deal with the concept of how to be a godly man. And if you're a woman, you go, what does that have to do with me? Everything, because you're going to deal with men. And here's the thing. In our culture, we're taught about toxic masculinity, and we're taught about all these things that just... Now anything can be toxic. Water can be toxic. If you ever drink water, you're going to drown. Oxygen is a great thing, but you can actually over-oxygenate your body and die. Can I be honest with you? So I've started working out again. I'm proud of that. Thank you. You're fat. Go. Okay, thank you. So I'm not sure how to interpret that. But So yesterday I got a new bench for my house, because I'm just not going to gyms and stuff, not because I'm afraid, I just don't like to pay people. And so I bought my own. Just judge me how you want to. So I bought a bench, and I was like, my son and I put it together real quick, and I'm like, you know, I've been working out like a week now, and I'm proud of myself. And so I've been doing a certain amount of weight, and I decided to go up 10 pounds just because it was in front of me, and I had my bench there, and I'm in the garage, and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And about, you know, 3 sets in, I'm like, this was a bad idea on a Saturday, because I'm going to have to worship the Lord like this in the morning. Because change hurts. And so I ate healthy all week, but then me and my son, we had a dude's day on Saturday for about half a day. So we got up and we went to what we call the candy store. You can interpret that if you know me however you want to. It's not literal candy, but it's candy that has some speed to it. And it has some, you know, anyway. And so we went, we did all that, and then we went to another store. I needed to find some new shoes, so they didn't have them. So then my son looked at me, and we're 2 guys on a dude's day, and we decided to go where all guys go, went to Bed Bath & Beyond. because there was some soap we needed to pick up, and that was an awkward experience in and of itself. We were walking out, and my son looked at me, and he goes, "Dad, so you realize something?" And I said, "What?" And he goes, "We're two dudes that just went into Bed Bath & Beyond together. We probably need to rethink that." Because like when we go in, if I go in with my wife or he goes in with his girlfriend, there's some grace for that. But two guys just, you know, just going into Bed Bath & Beyond was probably not the coolest thing. But we left, and we went to one of my favorite restaurants. It's a hamburger place, and they're just amazing. I know the owners. And so we sat down, and so my son got a shrimp po' boy, which is amazing, and tater tots that were fried in the sweet tea. And I got, because I'm a burger guy, like one of my favorite foods in the world, thank you, is a hamburger. So I went and got a hamburger with tater tots and a sweet tea, and we ate them quickly. And because it was a guy's day, that's what we do. We get in the car, and my son was driving. He's got a really, really nice truck, and it goes pretty fast. And so we're in there, and all of a sudden, my stomach, and I'm not trying to share too much with you. Is this okay? Can we just be friends right now? I know it's on the World Wide Web, and people are going to judge me. But my stomach went, "You need to get home." Now. And I looked at my son, and I said, "Son," I've always told my son, he's on our insurance right now, he's still in college, and I said, "Look, if you ever get a speeding ticket or a careless and reckless or something like that, you're off our insurance. Enjoy adulthood because I'm not paying for stupid," right? And I looked at him and said, "Son, I just need you to know something. We need to get home now, and you do whatever it takes, and I will pay it, because in about 45 seconds, I'm going to be reduced to when I was six." You can interpret that however you need to. Here's what I figured out. That my body, in just a week, had gotten used to eating clean. So that when I ate dirty, when I ate stuff I wasn't supposed to, my body was like, "Ooh, no, this has got to go." No, right? And I looked at my wife and said, "You're not going to believe this." And I did. And can I just be honest? So after I got home and the world passed, and I had my bench. I did my things till my arms hurt, and then I was like, "You know what? My core is really weak." So I just did like one set of ab workout, and about halfway through it, I went, "This is a bad idea," because as equal as doing the bad thing hurt when I was used to doing the good thing hurt because I was used to being bad. My abs are not used to sitting up. No, like we laugh. No, go home and do about 50 of them. You call me back. You laugh at me because I'm on stage with a microphone. Give me about 15 sit-ups and call me on Monday. Let me know how you feel. You'll be like, "Pastor, I feel that message on a different." Because I know somewhere under this one pack, there's a six-pack, because all six of them are going on the muscles. And it dawned on me in that moment that what I'm used to doing bad, my body likes to do bad. And when I try to make it good, my body's like, when I started eating healthy this week, my stomach was like, and taste buds were like, "No. No." I said, "No." But by the end of the week, when I put, you know, now my body's fueled up. I looked at my wife and said, "Man, I'm feeling better. I'm not eating anything fried. I'm feeling the benefit of this." And then I'm like, "Well, what's one meal gonna hurt?" I can answer that question off stage. But it took me to an old. It's actually a story. It's a fairy tale out of the Eskimo tribe. And it goes like this, that there was an Eskimo fisherman who had two dogs. And so he had two dogs, and he would take them to town. Now, this was in a barbaric culture. I'm in no way advocating this. But they used to fight dogs. And what he would do is he would take these two dogs to town to fight, and he would take bets on them. But after a few weeks of him taking his dogs to town, the townspeople figured out he always won the bets. He always picked the right dog. And finally a group of them came to him, and they kind of cornered him, and they were upset with him, and they said, "Look, man, you've got to tell us, how do you always know which dog to pick?" And he said, "It's easy. A few days before the fight, I pick one of the dogs and I starve it. Because I know the dog that's stronger will always win. the one that I feed will always be stronger. And it'll always win. And it dawned on me through that proverb, could it be that we lose the battles in our life because we feed the wrong things? Like we know this on a conceptual level. It's easy to go, yeah, Pastor, you're right. How true are you? No, but like in your life. Like if you've got this big frustration, because this is the setup. Can I be honest with you? The setup to the men's thing is this. If you notice the last two messages I did and Pastor Dan did, basically it said this, if you hear a word from the Lord, get after it. Yeah. And everybody goes, yeah, that's right. Until it's time to do it. Can I be, people say this all the time. I had a guy tell me a couple weeks ago, he said, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I said, that's fair, but you'll fit in. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you know that you're supposed to eat healthy? He said, yeah. I said, do you do it all the time? Well, no. Okay, so you're a hypocrite. Do you know that watching too much TV is bad for you? Sure I do. But do you do it? Well, yeah. Do you know that listening to a certain kind of music will make you feel a certain way? Yeah. Nobody gets mad and turns on classical music. Well, she says, I'll show them. Right? You just don't. So watch this. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. We're going to go through these slow. So Steve, once we go through them, we're going to bring them back up. But Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says this. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You ever feel like there's all this stuff you want to do, but you never do it? Like, I want to live this way, but I don't. I want to eat this way, but I don't. I want to live this way, but I don't. See, what you've got to do is fundamental. You've got to figure out that there are these two forces inside of you that are diametrically opposed. Now, Tom and Jerry did it this way. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. There was a cartoon named Tom and Jerry. Anyway, and so on Tom's shoulder, angel would pop up, and it would tell him something good to do. And on Jerry, on his other shoulder, a devil would show up. Now the funny thing about that devil is it was like in a red, you know, cape and pitchfork, and it was easy to understand. In our world, it looks so different, but those are symbolic of the flesh and the spirit. So inside of every person who believes in Jesus, Scripture says that your body becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. I need you, if you're a believer, put your hand on your chest, and I need you to say, the Holy Spirit lives right in here. So let me explain something to you. Put your hand out. Here's the thing. Don't ever pray for more of God. So we believe in a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? All equal, but all recognizing the Father as the headship, right? You can't get any more God. The problem is you don't need more God. You need less flesh. So inside of this temple being your body that the Holy Spirit lives in is full of a sinful nature. Anybody ever sit around licking themselves? If you walked into work and somebody at your work was, you'd be like, HR, somebody needs a few days off. What's bad is somebody goes, no, that's kind of normal where I work. You may need a new job. But here's the thing. But if you walked up and you saw your cat doing it, you would think nothing about it because it's in its nature. So here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, man, you got to understand something, that inside of you is a spirit and there's flesh, and those two things are at war with each other, and the one you feed is going to be the one that wins. And we are surprised when we feed our flesh, but then our spirit is weak. I have people all the time that I say stuff and it challenges their faith. They're like, man, how do you believe God on that level? And I'm like, because I fed it. It's strong. I wonder this. Could it be that you don't see God do some of the things that you're really asking Him for because you're not feeding it? I love verse 17. You can just bring that up. The end of that said, "For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you really want to do." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you just got out a sheet of paper? So at my house, we're to-do lists, not because I am, but my wife is. She's a big to-do list. Like, we've got lists of the lists that we have of things that need to be done around our house. And so what we do is this, is we believe this, and I believe this fundamentally, that where there's no vision, people perish. Yeah. That's in any arena of my life. If I want to be healthy, I need to know what healthy looks like. Can I be honest with you? James Clear, in his book, Atomic Habits, said this. He said, what everybody in our culture does is they want to set a goal and work towards. I want to lose 15 pounds before summer. I want to lose 15 pounds for my vacation in 1 week. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand, but it happens. I can just, you look in the mirror and you're like, nope. It's cover-up season, right? So we sit there and we do that. But rather than doing that, or we say this, you know what? I want to write a book. Or I want to fill in the blank, whatever you want to do. I want to get a doctorate degree. So we set these goals, but then we're disillusioned when we don't reach them. And I believe that Scripture backs up, and James Clear's not a Christian author, but I think he had some Christian principles in it. But James Clear said this, what if you just did the habits that those people did? Like, if you want to be healthy, what if you just said, rather than worrying about how much weight I lose, I want to have the habits of healthy people. Well, what happens if I fail? I just start over because I've got a vision. Remember when you were teaching your kid how to walk when they fell on the ground? Did you just be like, you big loser, you're never going to get this. Stay down. I have people going, that's cold-hearted. But you know what? But you know what? That's the conversation you have with yourself every day. Well, you fell down. Well, stay down. I might as well. None's ever going to work out for me. Because now your spirit, what I want to do is at odds with your flesh of what is habitual and natural for you to do. Let me tell you, sit-ups are not natural. Eating salad is not natural. Somebody can amen me. Not saying it's not fried chicken, natural. Grilled chicken, not so natural. Watching TV, natural. Surfing the internet, natural. Listen to Spotify, natural. Read my Bible, broccoli. No cheese. Can we just be honest? We're at war, not, can I be honest with you? I don't even think we're at war with the devil sometimes. We're at war with the natural side that's in, the natural flesh that's inside of us, that is at war with the spirit person that God is trying to raise us up to. But if you'll sit down and you'll say, you know what? What would a God follower, what would a Christ follower really look like? You know what? I think they'd read their Bible. Check. Christ followers would pray. Christ followers would worship. Christ followers might even fast. Unnatural. Christ followers would be kind. Christ followers would be loving. Christ followers would not be judgmental. Now, that doesn't mean we don't call sin, sin. I mean, if something's on fire, I'll be like, that's on fire. I love y'all, but that's on fire. My dad got spanked one time in church. My grandma didn't play. My grandma spanked in the back of the head in a minute. But anybody know what a pot-bellied stove is, old wood stove? Well, they were praying, and the pot-bellied stove was in the middle of this old church, and my dad was on the outside aisle. My grandma had her arm around him, and they were praying, and my dad noticed that an ember popped out on the wood floor. Well, he leaned over and stomped on it. She smacked him in the back of the head for disrupting church. Well, the next one did it, and he stomped. Well, now the floor is trying to catch on fire, so my dad's over there. I mean, they might have thought he had the spirit. I'm not sure, but he's over there doing this. And my grandma's just wearing the back of his head out till somebody jumped up and said, oh, my gosh, the church is on fire. Now, here's the thing. It's a reality. Here's the thing. There are things that are going on in our life that we would call spiritual. The way we deal with them matters. I can tell you this. There are things that fundamentally our church is opposed to because the Word of God is opposed to. We believe in the sanctity of life. That doesn't mean I'm against people who have had an abortion. That just means this. I'm not for the next one. I want to see that person healed and restored and lovingly, you know, put back together, because there's a part of a woman that's lost during that process. Psychologically, I can take you to non-biblical things that tell you that, man, that messes up your head. But you know what? I believe that Christ is the answer for every problem that we have. So while we may not like the sin, we don't like the fire. Doesn't mean we don't love the sinner. So as we make this list, man, I got to understand that this thing's going to put me at odds sometimes with myself. I read an article this week and it said this. It was talking about being motivated. It said this: if you're looking to be motivated to work out or do any other task that you want to do, how many times have you got ready to do something you want to do and you just went, I don't feel like it? They call that procrastination. You're putting off what you should be doing for no good real apparent reason. It's like this. If the church is on fire, I appreciate you stomping it out. Not really for you stomping just randomly in church. That's good. You know what I'm saying? It's got a little detractor to it. Matter of fact, if you got to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says this. It said, I'd appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Go back to verse 1. I love this. He said, I'm gonna encourage you, brothers. Verse 1, thank you. He said, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Let me ask you a question. Anybody, this is an Old Testament reference. Anybody remember in the Old Testament when they went to sacrifice an animal? Did the animal ever want to do it? Ever? Like, was there ever a sheep that went, bah, bah, let's die, die, right? Because the Old Testament act of sacrifice was brutal. It involved the slitting of a throat and the disembowelment. I mean, this thing was horrible, but necessary. When Paul writes, he said this, he said, But now that you understand that you've got this soul, this sinful nature, and this spirit that's inside of you, this Holy Spirit, that are constantly at war, you've got to offer a sacrifice. It's your spiritual act of worship. Well, God, how do I worship you that way? You have to do what you don't want to do. Well, man, I prayed and I didn't feel God. Keep praying. It's a sacrifice. I read my Bible and I didn't get anything out of it. Keep reading. I stopped watching TV, but I don't feel any different. Keep doing it. Because I promise you this, if you check out of the internet for a little, I checked out of social media. Just, I like the church stuff. And every now and then I'll catch myself, I like a couple other people's stuff. And then I'm like, this is stupid. I'm logged off. Because everything's political and negative, and I'm just like, done. I had somebody come to me and go, aren't you afraid of missing anything? No. My world's at my house. I can't change the White House, but I can change my house. I can't change the world, but I can change my world. Does this make sense? So what happens is in your life, this physical, this natural physical way of thinking and doing things is at war with the spiritual side. But the more of the spiritual side you begin to take in, the more time you spend in the presence of God, reading the Word of God, listening to worship music, applying the principles of Christ. As you begin to do that, you're not going to initially feel different. You know when it's really going to pay off? When you go back and you touch that sinful side again, you'd be like, something made my stomach hurt. Whoo. Have you ever walked into somebody's house and you're like, we're out. 5 minutes, we're out. Because the Holy Spirit inside of you is at odds with the spirit that's in that house. I don't know that I believe in that. I don't care. It's truth. So he sits and he writes this. He said, this is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, it says, but don't be conformed to this world anymore. He said, you can't do everything that the world does and expect to feed your spirit. Facebook and your spirit are at odds. The news and your spirit are at odds. It's truth. But imagine this, what if you took the time and you said, you know what, I'm going to feed my spirit. I'm going to work towards being the man or woman of God that I've really been called to do, to everything that I know to do. Because I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, please do not. But if I said, how many people that are in here that call themselves a Christian read their Bible every day this week? How many people here really spent time in prayer every day this week? How many people every day took time to worship the Lord? I think the answer to that may frighten us. But yet, if I ask this question, how many of you guys love God and really want to see God do something in your life? You know what I really believe? I believe that 99% of the hands would go up in this room. I want to be in shape, I just don't want to go to the gym. I want to be in shape, but I just don't want to go to the gym and I don't want to eat right. You know what you would call that person? Things we probably don't call people in church. You ever wonder what God would think if he could really speak to us the way he wants to? He'd be like, "But so let me get this right. You want to be godly, but you don't want to come to my house. You want to be godly, but you don't want to read what I have to say. You want to be godly, but you don't want to thank me for what I'm already doing. Yeah, God, but I just don't feel like it." Well, that's okay. Do you know what adults do? I don't ever think that an electrician gets up and wants to go be an electrician. How many of you guys, tomorrow morning when Monday rolls around, your alarm goes off at 0:30, are going to be like, "Yay, I get to go to work today. I just feel like getting up and going to work." Have you guys ever had a kid in a talent show, a karate thing, a dance thing, a play? Or you had a relative and you got invited? Anybody want to go? Anybody ever think about faking the flu so you didn't have to go? Yes! Do you know why? Because what you want to do is in conflict with what you don't want to do. And the problem is most Christians spend their entire life walking around this circle of conflict between what they want to do and what they feel like doing and what they don't want to do. And then they end up like Paul, and they're like, "Man, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing things I want to do. You know, I'm in this conundrum and I just can't get out of it. I'm in the cycle and I can't get out of it." And God's saying this, what if you picked what you were going to feed and let the other dog starve? Could that really be what Jesus talks about when he said, "Be hot or be cold or I'll spew you out of my mouth"? See, some of us got two dogs and we're trying to feed them both and win both halves of the fight. God, I know I shouldn't, but. God, I really wish this dog would go away. Here, have some more food. Anybody, when you were growing up, your grandma or your parents told you this? The stray dog, the pretty one, ran through your yard. And what do you want to do? "Mommy looks hungry." What'd your mama say? "Don't feed him or it won't go home." Jesus and mama taught you some good stuff. No, I'm being serious. Jesus and mama taught you a thing or two. If you don't like the sin that enticed you, don't feed it. If you don't like the habit that's taking you down a bad road, stop feeding it. What if I mess up and feed it? Well, don't feed it the next time. You can prove it to you. What if I told you today you could have lunch, but you couldn't eat again until Wednesday? I'm going to die. No, you're not, but you'd be starving. By the time Wednesday came around, I could put anything in front of you. You'd be like, "Pfft." You know what? Your sin is the same way. If you don't feed it, it'll get desperate. But if you don't feed it long enough, it'll die. Thrive Church, we believe about in being known for what we're known for. So I don't want to talk about the sin side as much, which I don't mind talking about sin, but I believe this. I believe that if you spend your time doing what you're supposed to do, you don't really have time to do what you're not supposed to do. It's like this. If you read your Bible, prayed, exercised, and ate the way you're supposed to, it would leave you very little time to sin. So if you feed it, it'll grow. And then what will happen is, I never will forget, I took a group of kids to the beach one time. I said, I'm going to teach you guys how to pray. And I started them out and I asked them to pray for 15 minutes. And they were like, for 15 whole minutes? 80 kids. Yeah, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Y'all been talking to each other for 4 hours. 15 minutes. Talk to Jesus. We were ocean front. It was beautiful. And we were looking out. And the first day, they prayed for like 2 minutes and they were done. Like they prayed for everything they could think of. So then we taught them a little bit more. And I said, look, what if the next time we pray at lunch, that was at breakfast. I said, what if at lunch I ask you just to take time and really pray for everything you were thankful for? I want you to pray for 15 minutes. They prayed for like 7 minutes. And they thought they had raised Lazarus from the dead. Then I said this, what if after you thank God for everything that you needed, what if you just prayed for what you thought other people needed? They prayed for like 12 minutes. Now Lazarus is not only raised from the dead, Lazarus is walking on water. And then we began to pray for our needs, and they went to 15. And then I said, what if you begin to pray for your parents and your siblings and that kind of thing? We're really praying for God. And then we said, what if you took time to pray for your enemy? What if you prayed that God would bless all the people that did you wrong? By the last day, they prayed for 45 minutes when I stopped them because I had to teach them something else. And they got mad at me. Pastor, we weren't done yet. What are you doing? So it's been 15 minutes. I'm like, check your watch. Because what you feed grows. Check this out. Will y'all give me 2 more minutes? Is that good? Bring 17 back up, please. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Actually, this isn't on your thing. Leave 17 up. But Galatians chapter 5, 17 says this. It said, for these things are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. I want you to understand this, that in order for you to feed it, you got to think about stuff on purpose. You've got to think about who you are in Christ on purpose. Look, I'm going to be a godly person. I'm going to be a Christ follower, and I'm going to do the things that Christ followers do. If I fall, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do it again. I can do this. Do you know this? The devil can't stop you from reading your Bible. I can prove this. When I was a little boy, I used to try to watch stuff I wasn't supposed to. Anybody's mama ever done this? Come on, somebody don't make me feel like I'm by myself. Any mamas ever covered their eyes because there was some nudie scene in something you weren't supposed to see? And what did you do? You wiggled your head around and you could see through her fingers. Don't make me feel like I'm the only person that ever did that. You in there watching, some of y'all don't know this, watching the Scramble Channel like this, hoping it makes sense. Some people in here going, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I may have seen something about that or heard it. Because when you want to sin, you'll do everything possible that it takes to sin. But when you really make your mind up to do everything that you can to do good, you can do it. Anybody ever tried to do something wrong and you couldn't make it work out? Well, if you can't sin intentionally every time you try, why do you think you can be godly every time you try on purpose either? It's a fight. You were made to fight. We'll give you 3 steps. So if you're a note taker, here are your 3 steps. These are kind of practical, applicable steps if you really want to feed those God components in your life as we come to close. The first one is be intentional about what you put into your mind. What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you allowing to occupy the time and space in your mind? In this culture, we've seen suicide go up exponentially. We've seen depression go up exponentially in our culture. Do you know why? Because it's what people are being fed. Do you ever notice that that's why they call it a news feed? That's why they call it the feed on your Instagram and a feed on your social media. Because what you feed grows. and think about what you're thinking about on purpose. The second thing is this, you got to get around the right people. You ever been in a good mood and went over to Eeyore's house? Probably going to die. Well, maybe we are. I don't know. Right? I mean, we're all going to die. Yeah, I'm just not planning on doing it this way. Or today. I'm planning on hearing boop, 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 whatever the trumpet's going to sound like. I don't know. That's the best trumpet I had. That's kind of the way I plan on going. But if not, I'm going to tell you the confession over my life. It's been the confession over my life for years. I'm going to be Moses. I'm going to go up to the top of the mountain in good health and good sight. I'm going to look into the promised land. I'm going to call my children around me, give them final instructions, and then I'm going to be like, y'all got to go because grandpa's going to die. Don't cry at the funeral. This is your last instruction. I've been preaching to y'all for 100 years. It's time for y'all to go home because I'm tired. You can die however you want to. I choose to die on purpose and with purpose. But you know what? I choose to live life on purpose and with purpose. Doesn't mean I always hit it. I'm just swinging at it. So get around the right people. Who you hang around matters. Jim Rohn says this, that you are the average of the five people you hang out with the most. Who are your five? And if they're not high quality, you need to trade them. But I'm related to them. It's okay. You can pick your friends. You stuck with your relatives. Trade your five friends. Man, get quality people around you that encourage you and challenge you and spur your faith on. Well, I don't have them. Well, pray for them. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Three. Monitor your thoughts and self-talk. The way you talk to yourself, the scripture says this, that such as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you think about yourself. My wife and I were first married. She'd come from a different relationship, and she had a fairly low self-esteem in some areas. Finally, I looked at her and said, I'm about to get mad at you. Because if anybody else had talked about you the way you're talking about you right now, I would have probably already hit them. So stop it. It was a fight. She knew my heart. If anybody else talked about you the way you think about you, the way you talk about you to you, Christ would have already got them. So stop it. Monitor what you're taking in. Monitor who you're hanging out with. Monitor what you're thinking about and telling yourself. It's time in this generation, let me tell you something, with Israel and Hamas going at it the way they are and Israel backing them up. Now, people say, man, you're never going to know when the end of time is. No, but Jesus said this, you know the season. I can tell you in October in North Carolina, I don't care if it gets 80 degrees and then down to 26. Winter's coming. I can't tell you when Jesus is coming back, but I'm going to tell you right now, when I flipped the news on and I saw that action going on, I went, ooh. And then people are calling for the support of the Palestine nation from America, who's always been a backer of Israel. I'm telling you, the season is near. You better be feeding your spirit, or it could cost you more than you think. Now, I know that's some old school preaching, but that's some real school preaching. If there's stuff going, I'll tell you the same thing I told my son, because we're family, right? If there is anything, and my wife and I had this same conversation, we need to humble ourselves for a season and say, God, if there's more flesh in us than what needs to be in there, show it to me. Let me work on it, because this is not a season for games. It's not a season for halfways. This is a season where you need to humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, if I got more flesh here, man, as hard as it's going to be, give me the strength to do it. See, God's already done his part. When Jesus said he was finished, you think there's an addendum to that for something he's got to come back and do? No, he said, I've given you the power to do it. I put the Holy Spirit inside of you. Live this life, repent from your sin, feed your spirit, and let's become a real, deep Christ follower. Because in this dark world, fake isn't going to cut it. Then he looked at you and said, you know what, though, baby? You can do it. As we come to close, I'm just going to share this with you. Remember when you were raising your kids, if you're of that age, or you've watched your parents raise a brother or sister, and they get so frustrated when their parents are challenging them to do something. Clean your room up. The whole room. Finish your food. The whole plate. And you're like, it's like four green beans. Shove them in your mouth and swallow. Like, we're not asking you to build Olympus here. We're just saying, swallow your green beans. You have the power to do it, right? When are we going to stop complaining and just do what the Lord's called us to do? You ever work with people that want to whine about the job rather than just getting in and doing it? We got a firefighter here this morning. Can you imagine three firefighters show up to a blazing house fire? And one of them goes, but it's hot. The other one goes, you know, I don't really feel like fighting fire today. You know what? If that was your house, you'd be like, shut up, grab the hose, run in there and do what you're paid to do. I think sometimes Jesus looks at us and says, son, daughter, I don't care if you feel like doing it. Grab the tools that I gave you and run into the fire. Run into those parts of your life that you don't want to face and deal with them. Run into those habits that you need to form and just do them. I've given you the power. I put the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's why you feel like your whole life is a wrestling match. Because you're wrestling against what I'm calling you to do. Scripture said, you know what? Pick for yourself this day whom you will serve. But your eternity falls in that balance. So to our online folks, to our folks here, with every head down, every bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask you a question. This isn't a call to salvation first. I'm just being honest with you. I'm going to give you, if you've never accepted Christ in just a second, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I have not been battling my flesh the way that I need to. I've not been doing what I need to do. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if that's you, will you just pray with me? Man, I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. I know that's weird for some people, but you know what? God can hear all of us at one time. I'm not even afraid of that. But I just want you to pray that today God will give you the focus to watch what you take in, to watch who you're around, and to be sure to feed those thoughts towards God, that you remember Jeremiah 29:11 and God's thoughts and His will and His way for you, that you can resist your flesh and push towards your spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, for every person with the honesty, with the integrity to pray right now, out loud to you, God, knowing that other people can even hear them. God, today I just ask that you reveal yourself, God, that you give them the courage, God, the strength, God, the passion for you, God, to begin to put into play the things that they know are good for them, that feed their spirit, God, but deny their flesh. God, that feed the Holy Spirit that you put inside of them. God, I know and I know that they feel you drawing and calling them back to you. God, in this moment, let today be a day of decision making. Let today be a day of consecration, God, where we set ourselves aside, God, to follow you with passion and with flavor and with fervor. Father, I ask that you ignite a fire inside of every person, God. The same fire that Jeremiah talked about. God, the same one that Paul told Timothy to stir up by the laying on of his hands. Father, today I reach my hand out, Father, and I just ask that you put a fire in every person that has a passion and a pursuit for you. God, and then let that fire be stirred up every day. Until you come back. In Jesus' name. You're here, whether you're online or in-house, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here, and man, I don't even know God, or I've walked away from God, and I need to give my life to Christ today. Will you just slip your hand up? I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. To those online, that same thing is extended. I'm just going to ask that all across this place. Will you just pray with me? We believe that if you pray this prayer, man, that you're asking God to come into your heart, that's your intention, and that's what God will do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Online folks, we're so glad that you joined us. We just pray God's blessing over your life, that you have an amazing week. May God bless you. To the folks here in house, man, I just want to say what a privilege it is to be here. I'm excited about where God has taken us. It's going to be a challenge the next couple weeks. Because I believe that God in this season is trying to raise up a group of real men that really know what it means to have that Christ-like warrior mentality. Knows what it takes to lead a house. Because see, inside of that, a bunch of us were taught, men are the head of the house. Well, great, yeah. We're spiritual high priests too. You don't see men signing up for that action, do you? So before you can lead your house with that kind of authority, you better be ready to pray over and pray with your house on that level. I'm the man. What I say goes. That's great. But remember this. Anytime, that's a nuclear decision. When you launch a nuclear missile, nuclear fallout always follows it. We're going to teach you what it's like to be a real man and get people to go with you, not because they have to. That's called indentured servants. You own them. It's not what God called us to. But how to lead your family in a way that they'll want to follow you. We'll teach you that men are fighters. Who am I supposed to fight? How do I fight them? Then when we leave that series, we're going into what it means to be a woman of God. How do I look in the mirror and really see what God sees? How do I have confidence and swag as a woman? Because you know the number one thing, can I be honest with you? The devil doesn't have to come to you. All he's got to do is put you in the mirror and just go, tell me what you see. He's done for the day. Can I get a witness? But man, when a woman walks in and goes, you know what? I may not be what they said I'm supposed to be, but I'm what you said I'm supposed to be, so I will work this. Because confidence is sexy. Confidence is contagious. Man, you better be behind this. I should have a man up with a handkerchief right now going, woo, if we were in traditional church, you'd be fanning me down. Now, let me tell you something. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for every person that's here. God, I just pray an eternal blessing over them and their family. God, as they pursue you, God, let that anointing trickle down according to Psalms 133. God, let anointing flow from them to the next generation. Father, I ask that in every house, God, that you let healing, wholeness, provision, God, that all the blessings of the Lord follow them. God, not so that they can hoard those up, so that they can be known as givers and servers of Christ. God, let the blessing of Abraham, Father, follow us. God, bring us back here safe. God, put a hedge of protection around everybody here and their families. God, we're going to give you the glory for what you do in and through our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We can't wait to see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.